This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The La Crosse County Board of Supervisors is in the process of debating a $134 million budget for 2012. Hundreds of counties, towns, cities, and villages across the state are following a similar budget process, working with a declining amount of financial aid provided by the state of Wisconsin government and the federal government. The county's budget is formulated by Administrator Steve O'Malley. He recently talked about the process with UW Extension's Mary Meehan Stroob. She asked O'Malley what is significant about the county's budget.
Well, most significantly, this is the first time that we've had a 0% increase in operating levy, debt levy, and library levy. After two consecutive years of a 0% increase in operating levy, the only increase for the previous 2 years was due to debt service for the new law enforcement center. We're having to do that again this year as well.
What does that increase in debt levy mean?
In each of the previous 2 years, it was around 2% or less to the entire levy for just debt service. There was no increase in operating expenses paid for by the property tax for La Crosse County in 2010 or 2011, and we're having to do that again for 2012.
So can you share what's the difference between the three levies that you have there?
There are three portions of the county's levy: operating, which are for basic operating expenses, salary, wages, anything not covered by other revenue; debt service, which pays for the mortgage payments for the law enforcement center and other long-term debt; and library levy, which is the library levy is actually taxing only the people outside the city of La Crosse because we have an independent library system that the city of La Crosse doesn't participate in.
So what is the impact of the state's budget on La Crosse County's budget?
Well, the state did a number of things that actually made our situation more difficult, but they're still only about half of the budget problem that we have this year. It really comes down to that most of our budget problems are related to other effects in the economy, loss of interest revenue, other cutbacks in federal revenue, other increased costs, so that we had about a $3 million gap as we started the budget this year. Mm-hmm. About half of that is due to state budget cuts. The rest is because of other effects and impacts within the budget.
What areas in particular will be affected by the state budget?
The gap that we started out with at the preparation of the budget was about $3 million. About half of that, $1.4 million, is due to direct state budget cuts. $1 million of decrease in shared revenue, $153,000 in general transportation aids, nearly $50,000 in court aids, $60,000 in child support aid, $14,000 in victim witness, a decrease of $147,000 in youth aids. But again, that's only about half of those cuts. And then there are other cuts due to loss of revenue and interest revenue, decreases in administrative support from federal revenue for the child support or child waiver changes, loss of client revenue, paying for services, and a number of other smaller items adding up to that $3 million. Now, Governor Walker and the legislature talk about giving us so-called tools to deal with these kinds of budget problems, but they've been completely inadequate to be able to meet the demands of all of those cuts. While the governor forced through and the legislature adopted a requirement that employees pay 50% of Wisconsin retirement, they also provided that employees could negotiate up to a CPI level of consumer price index level of raise. So the net savings for our budget is about $1.1 million when you do both of those steps, because quite often about 35 to 45% of our budget is not paid for by property taxes. The Hillview Nursing Home, for example, does not have any property tax levy at all. So while it saves their operating budget to have employees pay Wisconsin retirement, it doesn't reduce property taxes at all. Same thing with our solid waste operation. Same thing with our Lakeview Nursing Home and multiple other services throughout the operation. So the so-called tools that the legislature and the governor provided, while reducing some of our operating cost and saving some property tax dollars, did not offset the entire $3 million which is the gap. Now, I'm not saying the entire $3 million is all a creature of the state government. Some of the impact, of course, is the local economy, the nationwide economy, the loss of interest revenue. But the complexity of dealing with a $134 million budget, belies the fact that there is no easy answer, either to holding the line or to cutting services. It's up to the managers and the management team to really work through the details of how that happens.
Now, we've talked about the impact of the state's budget on the county's budget. What is the impact of the federal budget on the Cross County's budget?
You know what? We've identified some of the changes already. There are some changes in how we charge back administrative services and some other smaller items, but really it's a big unknown. The so-called super committee in Congress is debating what's going to happen versus all kinds of other funding that will impact Medicaid, Medicare, all health department funding, education in UW Extension and others nationwide, and it's really too early to tell.
And how long can we go on without knowing?
Well, these will be changes that obviously the Congressional Committee has to make decisions by the end of November, is my understanding, and wait to see what they actually do, and do they fail to come together on a compromise and a decision and just impose across-the-board cuts. I'm not aware of what that level of cut would be. But obviously there's a lot of uncertainty going into the new year.
With the uncertainty of the federal budget and the upcoming vote that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors will need to take to approve the 2012 budget, can it happen that action taken by the federal legislators after the November County Board meeting can overturn any actions, activities, or decisions that were made within the 2012 budget?
Certainly. I don't think I would verbalize it, though, that it's overturning. It's that we've made assumptions based on existing funding levels and existing programs as federal and state law have determined get transferred or passed down to La Crosse County. There's no way we can predict what those changes in eligibility, reimbursement formulas could end up being in the new federal budget. So it's not so much overturning as it is that they will change standards and funding practices and hopefully identify areas that the federal government no longer wants to serve. But that's easier said than done. And unless someone has a crystal ball that can predict the future and perfectly, it's very unclear what the super committee at the congressional level or the across-the-board cuts would impact and where within the county budget.
Decisions at the federal level can or can't have a major impact?
Oh, certainly.
On the county budget.
It's part of the largest uncertainty, and it's mainly in the areas of human services, health, and both nursing homes. Most of the other general government services are mostly funded by local property taxes or state revenue. So it's really health, human services, and both nursing homes that could be the most impacted by the decisions right now.
So what is the size of La Crosse County's budget, and which direction is our spending going?
The entire budget is $134 million. Roughly 22% of that budget is paid for by local property taxes. Everything else is covered by federal, state, other revenue, other charges, solid waste fees, those types of things. So it's a rather large budget, but very little, relatively speaking, is paid for by property taxes. The total amount of spending went up 0.33% from last year to this year, mainly because of some smaller capital projects. So truly, we're holding the line on everything that we can throughout the budget and actually cutting in areas that we need to be able to bring it in at that level.
As you look over your tenure here in La Crosse County, how has the size of that budget changed over the years?
It's actually declined over the period of time. Of course, the biggest decrease was the care management organization back in 2008. It used to be a part of our operation. We were part of regionalizing that and spinning it off to a quasi-public agency that's funded by the state, and ended up downsizing our total number of employees by about 118, 120 employees at that time, and removed a large portion of our budget. So we went from $211 million as gross budget back then to $134 million projected for 2012. So quite a large downsizing by spinning off that operation from us.
Now, you talked about 22% of the projected 2012 budget will be on the tax levy. And so what is that going to mean in terms of taxpayers? How will they be impacted?
Well, the total amount of spending, of course, paid for by property taxes from 11 to 2012 will go up at an absolute rate of zero. There will be no increase at all. However, our equalized value, the total value of property in the community, has risen or decreased by about 0.7%, so just a little under 1%. What most people will see on their property tax bill is likely no increase in the county's property tax line item. However, what's more likely to happen is actually a shift between City of La Crosse and the outerlying taxpayers. Until we end up seeing what the final projection is, we're likely to see county property taxes, the county portion of property taxes in the City of La Crosse, decline a little bit, and the outerlying county property taxes for people in Holman, Onalaska, West Salem, other places rise just slightly. Even though our total spending didn't change for property taxes from last year to next year, there's bound to be a slight shift depending upon total values in each of the municipalities.
And why is it that the property values are going down?
Well, I think it's the entire economy, obviously. The values of homes and properties are basically stagnating. But the positive part is that many other counties in the state are seeing declines of 3, 4, and 5%, while ours are basically stable. A slight decrease of 0.7% with a small amount of new construction that's stabilizing that is really a positive sign compared to most of the state of Wisconsin.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm Mary Nien Strube, and my guest today is Steve O'Malley, and we're talking about the 2012 La Crosse County budget. The proposed 2012 budget includes cuts to the home health program. What impact will that have on clients or future clients for that program?
Well, we've recognized our limitations. La Crosse County is one of only 10 counties in the state as of 2011 that still provide in-home home health services. And so we've had to cap the types of clients we can provide service to. We'll decline by the number of clients served from 2011 to 2012 by about one quarter, from around 42 or 43 clients a year to 32 in that area. And this is frequent visits, being able to go and help people stay in their homes. The impact is going to be to transfer those other clients that we will no longer serve to other providers. Unfortunately, the reimbursement formulas from Medicare and Medicaid that provide the lion's share of non-private pay clients are not adequate to pay for the cost of our services, and that reimbursement is more lucrative for private providers that don't provide the same wages, same benefits that the county provides.
Has the numbers and that program over time, has that declined prior to this?
Yes, we've had to decline that level of service. One of our largest contractors, of course, for those services is Western Wisconsin Cares, the former CMO. And again, with good wages, good benefits that we've been able to provide to our employees within this area, Western Wisconsin Cares doesn't provide adequate reimbursement. The marketplace has determined to pay less in wages and benefits for that level of service, and we're not able to compete with lower-cost providers. And so we need to phase back and specialize in the type of clients we can serve, because we need to control that area of the property tax. In just the last 4 years alone, the total amount of property tax devoted to this area, home health, has doubled. and we can't have any area of the property tax double. Otherwise, we're cutting other services to maintain this, and that's why we're making difficult decisions in this budget year.
When the economy is bad, there's typically a greater need for government services. Are you finding that to be the case here in La Crosse County? And if so, do you have any examples of that?
Well, certainly, when the economy is bad, government services and the demand for government services goes up. We continue to see increased caseloads in economic support, food share, Badger Care, medical assistance. In fact, even the underemployed, I've seen recent statistics where people are working at local community stores and those types of things that now, because their income is so low, even though they're still working, they qualify for Medicaid and Badger Care. So it's really a challenge to be able to continue to provide direct services to folks. We haven't seen a huge increase in crime rates and those types of things, but we still believe that there's an impact on the stress within families, increased demand for family and children services, mental health issues seem to accelerate during this period of time.
Collective bargaining for government employees and how that affects local units of government has been in the news and in the media quite a bit this past year. How has this affected La Crosse County government?
Well, I think it's forced our organization to really reexamine our connection with our employees, and I'm pleased to note that our county board and bargaining units came together during this debate and said that if we're going to be forced by state law to have employees pay a portion of Wisconsin retirement and to really make a transition to a future where the certainty of collective bargaining is unknown, we came together in agreement with our employees that said, let's extend the labor contracts for the next 2 years, for 2012, 2013, but that the employees needed to voluntarily, in those bargaining agreements, to pay the 50% share of Wisconsin retirement. And all of our bargaining units except one, the patrol union, agreed to that voluntarily because if we're going to make a transition from the type of relationship we've had with employees in collective bargaining to an uncertain future, I think we need more time in transition in respect to our employees, in respect to things like seniority and work rules and all the things that have built up over the last 40 or 50 years. We need to be respectful of that relationship. And so our board and administration, personnel department, and the employee unions came together and said, let's extend it for the next 2 years and see what this truly means for the organization and for the state. I think that's one of the most disrespectful parts of how Governor Walker and the legislature dealt with this, is that if they believe we had to make changes in Wisconsin retirement and how things happen in paying for benefits, that can be done more respectfully than just forcing through a system that basically guts 40 or 50 years worth of bargaining history. Even if you disagree with Governor Walker's philosophy about collective bargaining, I think there are far more respectful ways that recognize the relationships and work rules and history within unique organizations. We have over 1,300 employees in our organization in 32 departments. We have longstanding history of relationships and work rules and respecting working people for the service they provide our community, I think, is the proper way to deal with changes. We don't set the broad policy that the state does. We'll adapt to whatever the state does because we're a creature of state government. But this has been the most divisive time I've ever seen in local government, and I think it could have been handled much differently and more respectfully than the governor and the current administration.
And recognizing that La Crosse County was on the forefront in terms of the actions that they took with the collective bargaining units, did we jump too fast? Knowing what you know now, what has happened in other counties and having interacted with other administrators in that, has La Crosse County jumped too fast on this, or are you still comfortable with your decision?
Very comfortable. Before the governor was elected, we were negotiating a 0% wage freeze with our employees. I actually had one agreement before the end of the year before he was actually inaugurated. We believed that we needed to make some significant impacts on the cost of wages and benefits, and those are not difficult issues to negotiate, but it's about the relationships that we build at the bargaining table and one-on-one with our employees. No, by any means, I think the extension of our labor contracts, with the exception of getting employees to agree to the 50% of Wisconsin retirement, I think extending that has actually given us more pause I've talked to other administrators across the state, other personnel directors across the state. They're having to rethink virtually everything, from work rules to shift rules to seniority to pay classifications. It's basically taking 40 or 50 years of history and throwing it up in the air and seeing what lands and giving the employer the unilateral right to make all those changes. There are too many morale issues and relationship issues that just don't respect the history of employee-employer relationships. And I think it's a bit arrogant to believe that you as a CEO or you as a member of a county board really can determine all those things out of context. We are merely stewards for the organizations that we guide, and we need to respect the service that our employees provide to the community. And that's what I think we're trying to do. That's what we are trying to do in our extension of the labor contracts. And I know other counties are really scrambling with what to do over the next several months. And we're going to take a more deliberative approach over the next 2 years.
As you think about the budget that you're recommending to the county board, is there room for much change?
I think it would require the board to really give different direction than they've given to make major change. In the past, the board has indicated through discussion as well as input that they prefer to preserve the majority of services that we have. There are not major areas, even though there's been significant debate about cutbacks in certain areas. There has not been agreement or consensus by the board of areas of service they don't want to provide. I think the board's very representative of the public, which is that people want to see as much as possible holding the line on costs but preserve the level of services that we have. And given things like courts and human services and the two nursing homes, that people appreciate the level of service we have, whether every family needs those services or not. I think the general public wants us to do everything we can to control costs, but can't identify anything in particular they'd rather have the county not do, whether it be roads or patrol mm-hmm. service or those kinds of things. And clearly we have a courts and a jail system to operate. So it, I think just like we find for most of government, the public wants everything that we provide and at the same time doesn't want to cut costs or increase the tax level to provide those services.
Steve O'Malley is the administrator of La Crosse County Government. He talked with La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube about the 2012 budget he developed. The La Crosse County Board will vote on the budget next month. A public hearing on the budget is being held Monday, November 14th at 6 p.m. in the County Board Room in La Crosse County's Administrative Center. Coming up in the next half hour, the author of a book that takes a refreshing look at the early years of the La Crosse area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.